Amateur Radio Newsline Report number 2226, with a release date of Friday, June 26th, 2020, to follow in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. The following is a QST. Hams experience a very different kind of field day. Australia prepares for in-person exams, and a beloved museum curator becomes a silent key. All this and more as Amateur Radio Newsline Report number 2226 comes your way right now.
From around the world, this is Newsline, Amateur Radio's independent on-the-air news and bulletin service. And now reporting from Valparaiso, Indiana, here's Paul Brown, WD9GCO.
As Newsline went to production, hams in the U.S. and Canada were getting ready to operate Field Day on June 27th and 28th under unprecedented conditions. With COVID-19 pandemic creating public health and safety concerns, the ARRL issued a rule waiver permitting hams to operate from their home QTH instead of the customary parks and other public spaces, even to the extent of using commercial power. As a result, hams were more at home with Field Day than ever. With the changes to the rules this year, entrants needed to make sure that they chose the correct contest entry class to match their revised operational situations. Some clubs, however, were going ahead with the emergency preparedness event in public spaces using added precautions for public safety. In North Carolina, some hams from the Carteret County Amateur Radio Society were to operate at the local Newport Town Park, while others were getting on the air at home using the club call sign W4WMI. The Kansas-Nebraska Radio Club was to participate in their emergency communications trailer at the Veterans of Foreign Wars 7697 in Glasgow, Kansas. Numerous other clubs, however, scrapped their plans to showcase amateur radio to the public, and like hams from the Manalapan Township Aries Group in New Jersey, they were going ahead with plans to participate from home. The Eyeball QSO is making a comeback down under. Here's Robert Broomhead, VK3DN, with the details.
Face-to-face exams are returning for amateurs and licensed candidates as exam locations put strict guidelines into place. The Australian Maritime College, which administers the exams for the Australian Communications and Media Authority, has announced that assessors will be able to proceed with the exams provided there is a COVID-safe plan and compliance is assured. The AMC's amateur radio office must approve all exam sessions in advance and will not accept papers if it believes they were exposed to unsafe conditions. In response to the pandemic, exams have been given via remote assessments which required oversight by approved Level 3 AMC assessors. Clubs, meanwhile, are also restoring to some normality. In New South Wales, the Central Coast Amateur Radio Club is preparing to reopen its clubrooms on the 4th of July, when it plans to hold its first face-to-face general business meeting since the start of the pandemic. There are maximum occupancy limitations, however. The meeting will also be available online for members who prefer to attend via a teleconference platform. The reopening and safety guidelines have been set forth by the New South Wales Government. Health orders which require strict compliance with sanitising procedures as well as collecting the names and other details of attendees for tracking purposes. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Robert Broomhead, VK3DN.
The online calendar of amateur radio events continues to fill up even as physical events remain few and far between as a result of the COVID-19 pandemic. In Germany, the DARC has announced that Friday, June 26th, kicks off the Ham Radio Online event being held in lieu of Ham Radio Friedrichshafen. The DARC and organizers are also making a virtual trade fair available to exhibitors to present their latest products. For those who want to mix workshops with their shopping, the online event will also offer sessions on operating, broadcast technology, and other related subjects. AMSAD is also moving to the online realm later this year instead of gathering in Bloomington, Minnesota on October 16th through the 18th. Attendees at the 38th Annual Space Symposium and Annual General Meeting will be participating through a virtual platform. AMSAT will provide additional information as soon as event planners have details available. In the UK, the Convention Committee of the Radio Society of Great Britain has planned an online equivalent of the RSGB convention, and as with the in-person event, it will feature an array of speakers. It will be held on Saturday, the 10th of October. Details will follow when they become available. There is a sad silence inside a special radio museum in Ireland whose curator has died. Jeremy Boot, G4NJH, tells us about him.
Pat Herbert, curator of Ye Olde Hurdy-Gurdy Museum of Vintage Radio in Howth in Ireland, has become a silent key. Pat established the museum in 2003 inside the refurbished Martello Tower as a home for his vast collection of radio equipment, which he began assembling during the 1950s. The museum is described by Tony Bronock, EI5EM, of the Howth Martello Radio Group as, quote, a magical, quirky and welcoming Aladdin's cave, unquote. The museum is considered a welcoming facility, and perhaps no one has felt more welcome than amateur radio station EI0MAR, which began operating on the premises thanks to Pat. His story and that of the museum was the subject of a 10-minute award-winning film in 2014, Hurdy Gurdy Man. Pat, who was perhaps the most enthusiastic volunteer at the museum, died on the 18th of June. He was 83. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Jeremy Boot, G4NJH.
A young boy in India who became separated from his family is back home, thanks to local hams. Jim Meachin, ZL2BHF, has the details.
Reuniting families has become something of a speciality for the West Bengal Radio Club in India. And on a recent Saturday, the latest reunion was a homecoming for a 10-year-old boy. The club secretary, Ambarish Nag Biswas, VU2JFA, told Newsline that he was contacted by Ham Club member Padma Kumar Roy, VU3ZIM, after the child had turned up on the street near a hospital the previous day. Social workers intervened, and the youngster, who appeared to have suffered a head injury, was given an exam at the hospital and kept there as a precaution. Administrators located the boy's family in West Bengal. After giving him medical clearances some days later, they were able to accompany him home. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Jim Meachin, ZL2BHF.
Summer has arrived in many parts of the world, but before you curse the humidity that often accompanies the season, think of what that water vapor might be able to do for your operating power with your radio. Graham Kemp, VK4BB, reports on some of the promising research going on in Israel.
What happens when water molecules interact with metal surfaces? The result is nothing short of electric. So say researchers at Tel Aviv University, who've just completed a study into how the atmosphere's water vapor might just provide a renewable energy source. Soda enthusiasts and other portable radio operators, are you listening? The study from the university's Porter School of the Environment and Earth Sciences, published recently in Nature Scientific Reports, pursued the evolution of electricity in thunderstorms, noting how it morphs from vapor to droplets to ice and eventually spurs formation of the electricity we know as lightning. The researchers used a small low-voltage battery to determine voltage buildup between two discrete metal surfaces and found that when the environmental humidity dropped below 60%, so did the voltage. With humidity able to charge surfaces to as high as 1 volt, researcher Colin Price says he believes this process could eventually help develop batteries that could be recharged using water vapor in the air, provided the humidity is a very tropical 60% or higher. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Graham Kemp, VK4BB.
An Arizona special event station will be getting on the air to mark the heroism and the deaths of 19 firefighters in 2013. Skeeter Nash, N5ASH, tells us more.
On June 30th, 2013, 19 specially trained firefighters in Arizona died as heroes as they fought the now infamous Yarnell Fire in Yavapai County. On June 30th of this year, first responders and wildland firefighters everywhere will be honored along with this special group of Granite Mountain hotshots as special event station N7GMH goes on the air. The Granite Mountain Hotshots Memorial Radio Club was created in tribute to those lost to the smoke and flames, and they have operated every year on the HF bands to recall the group's bravery. If conditions permit, HF frequencies ending in 19 will be used whenever possible for both SSB and CW contacts. A special certificate will be awarded to stations who make contact during this activation and share in the tribute to a group who will not be forgotten. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Skeeter Nash, N5ASH.
It's time for you to identify your station. We are the Amateur Radio Newsline, heard on bulletin stations around the world, including the W9BCC repeater in Wausau, Wisconsin. Sundays, 9 p.m. during the Rib Mountain Repeater Association's Sunday Night SwapNet. Because some of the most important things hams have to say to one another can often happen when they're not on the air, two national radio organizations are looking for help in getting the word out about their print and online publications. Ed Durant, DD5LP, explains.
The NRRL, Norway's National Amateur Radio Organization, is in search of an editor to oversee its members' magazine, Bladet Amateur Radio, which publishes six times a year. A notice posted online said that the magazine, which is published in the Norwegian language, is considered a cornerstone of the league and major benefit to league membership. The editor will be responsible for planning and production, as well as collaboration on content. Application deadline is September 1st. Interested amateurs can direct their questions to nrrl@nrrl.no. Questions can also be directed to the current editor at bullen@nrrl.no. In Australia, the Wireless Institute of Australia is looking for candidates to take over the helm of AR magazine, which has not published since its January/February edition of this year. The position of editor-in-chief has remained vacant since editor-in-chief Harry, VK6YBZ, resigned for health reasons last year. The WIA is looking for members who can assist with editorial or proofreading skills. Interested candidates can email the AR Publications Group Secretary at secretary@wia.org.au. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Ed Durant, DD5LP.
Meanwhile, the Radio Amateur Society of Australia has launched an e-magazine and named it QTC after the Q code for I Have a Message for You. The downloadable publication will be available every 2 months, featuring columns on dealing with QRM and RFI in the shack, and a how-to regular feature on getting started in different aspects of ham radio. The link to the download appears in the script of this week's newscast on our website at arnewsline.org. Disintermediation. That's a big word, and it's often used in marketing to indicate the elimination of the middleman, but it's also the heart and soul of an amateur radio initiative to reinvigorate activity in the UK. Jeremy Boot, G4NJH, picks up the story from here.
There's nothing like holding a meeting in person to network and find ways to reverse the decline of ham radio activity in the UK. With the pandemic temporarily putting their work for any such conference on hold, the Mid-Somerset Amateur Radio Club, however, is still advancing its plans. The club's chairman, Richard Thomas, G4JJP, said the challenge is particularly great in Somerset, England's most rural county, where he believes amateurs need an online environment to learn how to connect with each other for skill development and support, even if no middleman, such as a club, is nearby.
Clubs themselves can share their resources, share their expertise, share their membership, if you like, across a much wider area. That also gives access to younger people as well, who not naturally join clubs, but are naturally linked into social media and online services.
The concept of clubs as hubs is key, and he said it follows the successful model of disintermediation in retail, where services like Amazon and eBay are open around the clock and don't rely on a middleman. Likewise, the new model means mentoring, skill sharing and equipment access could now be accomplished also around the clock. Richard says that what people will ultimately have access to is an experience that's not just informative, but transformative.
These networks that we're trying to build are not just about information, they're about people coming to join so that they can actually transform in terms of skill, in terms of ability to use amateur radio, in terms of ability to learn and so on.
With input from numerous area clubs and the RSGB, Richard said the network continues its work moving forward and hopes for the day soon when a conference can be held in real time. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Jeremy Boot, G4NJH.
In the world of DX, listen for Marco, CU7BC, Bruno, CS8ABG, and Paolo, CU2CO, operating as CQ8F for one day only, June 29th, from the Formius Islets in the Azores. They will be on HF using CW and single sideband, QSL via Logbook of the World. Andy, DK5ON, will be on the air as EA6/DK5ON from Majorca Island between the 1st and the 11th of July. He will be operating holiday style with some possible EAFF and SOTA/GMA activities. Listen on 40 through 6 meters, where he will be using single sideband, CW, and the digital modes. Send QSLs via DK5ON direct by the Bureau, Club Log, or Logbook of the World. Listen for Peter, LA7QIA, using the call sign JW7QIA from the Spitsbergen Island between June 27th and July. He will concentrate on 6 meters, but may be also found on 70 megahertz using single sideband, CW, and the digital modes. QSL via his home call sign. A special event in Vanuatu between July 1st and the 30th features operators Colin, YJ8CW, Estelle, YJ8ED, and Rod, YJ8RN, who are using the call sign YJ40IND. This is a 40th anniversary celebration of the Vanuatu's independence. Until it was granted independence on July 30, 1980, it had been known as the New Hebrides when it was a joint British-French condominium. Operations will be mainly on 40, 20, 15 meters using CW, single sideband, and FT8. Most of their activity will be on the weekends. Our final story is about the amateur bands. As hams, we know what they're worth to us in making QSOs, but in some circles, it seems that the bands also have the potential to make big money. Mike Askins, KE5CXP, tells us more.
Fiber optic transmission may be fast, but what's faster than fast? Try 300 million meters per second, or as any ham knows, the speed of light, and our radio waves. Wanting to go faster than fiber optic fast when sending time-sensitive trading data internationally via cable, highly competitive financial traders have literally seen the light. They are buying and selling on the exchanges using the same swiftness with which many of us make our contacts and give our signal reports. Microwave transmitters have replaced fiber optic cables, which support a much slower rate of only about 124,000 miles per second. But microwaves have their limitations. They require line of sight before needing a boost, and traders are now looking to the shortwave frequencies. There are still problems here. Though faster, these waves handle less data than fiber optic cable can, and as any ham will tell you, reception is not always reliable. Communications companies are puzzling over these challenges, hoping to increase the signal's reliability and provide a backup service, such as a parallel fiber line, just in case. As developments go forward for those at hedge funds and large algorithmic trading firms, however, the concept of being a high-frequency trader is sure to take on an added meaning. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Mike Askins, KE5-CXP.
With thanks to American Friends of Tel Aviv University, Amateur News Weekly, AMSAT, the ARRL, Bloomberg, Carteret County News Times, CentralJersey.com, CQ Magazine, the DARC, David Behar, K7DB, DX World, Hurdy Gurdy Museum, the NRRL, the Ohio Penn DX Bulletin, QRZ.com, the Radio Society of Great Britain, ShortwaveRadio.de, Southgate Amateur Radio News, Ted Randall's QSO Radio Show, Twitter, the West Bengal Radio Club, the Wireless Institute of Australia, WTWW Shortwave, and you, our listeners. That's all from the Amateur Radio Newsline. Please send emails to our address at newsline@arnewsline.org. More information is available at Amateur Radio Newsline's only official website at arnewsline.org. For now, with Karen Eve Murray, KD2GUT at the news desk in New York, and our news team worldwide, I'm Paul Brown, WD9GCO in Valparaiso, Indiana, saying 73. And as always, we thank you for listening. Amateur Radio Newsline is copyright 2020. All rights reserved.